Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا تقم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Most respected elders and friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I've recited before you verse 108 of Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah commences from the 10th juz of the Qur'an-i-Kareem and it extends till the 11th juz of the Qur'an-i-Kareem. When Nabi-i-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat, he came to Madinatul Munawwara. A Christian priest by the name of Abu Amir, he came up to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had a discussion on Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained him Islam, the fundamentals of Islam. He had certain objections on the religion of Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained him. But he showed dissatisfaction on the religion of Islam and he criticized Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the two people between us, whoever is on falsehood, may Almighty Allah separate him from his family, may Allah separate him from his friends, and may Allah separate him from the land that he is living in. He, Abu Amir, he helped the enemies of Islam in every war against Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until the battle of Ahzab, which we know as the battle of alliances, where all the kuffar of the world at that time, they wanted to ameliorate Islam from the face of the earth. At that time, the kuffar were defeated and Abu Amir felt so despondent that all his efforts were in vain. He fled Madinatul Munawwara and he went to Sham. At that time, Sham was the strong fort of the Christian world. From Sham, from Syria, he wrote a letter to the Munafiqeen of Madinatul Munawwara. And he told to them, the Byzantine ruler wishes to launch an attack on Medina. But when he does that, he would require assistance from people from within Medina. So the Munafiqeen decided to put up a building, an undercover center, and disguise it with being a masjid. The intention was to fill that place up with arms, with ammunition, with weapons, so that when the Byzantine Empire ruler attacks Madinatul Munawwara, they would be able to help from assist, from inside. So there would be an attack from outside, there would be an attack from inside. They decided to disguise this undercover center by calling it a masjid. At that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing to go to Tabuk. They went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a masjid in Quba, but it's a bit far away from where we live. And a masjid in Quba is small, it cannot facilitate all of us. So we wish to build a masjid and we want your blessings. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that when I return, I will come and I will perform salah there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Tabuk, and when he was returning from Tabuk, that's when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, verse 108 of Surah At-Tawbah. لا تقم فيه أبدا. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never ever stand in that masjid. Never enter that masjid. By you going there, the enemies of Islam, the munafiqeen, want to deceive you. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala want to save Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from being a victim of deception of the munafiqeen. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin haqqu an taquma fi. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the masjid that has been built on taqwa, the masjid that has been built on piety, with good intentions, with Allah consciousness, referring to masjid in Quba, you may go and perform your salah there. That masjid is more deserving of your presence than giving blessing to the masjid that is based on evil intentions. Then Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about the people of Quba. Fihi rijalu yuhibbuna ayyata taharu. In Quba, there are people that love to purify themselves. They love to cleanse themselves. Wallahu yuhibbul mutatahhirin. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala love those people who cleanse themselves, who purify themselves. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi have explained four stages of purity, four stages of tahara. The first is to cleanse the entire body of any dirt, any filth, any dirt, any evil. The second, to cleanse the various limbs of the body from the sins and the wrongs that it commit. To cleanse the eyes from the zina of the eyes. To cleanse the ears from the wrong that the ears hear. To cleanse the mouth from the ghibat, that biting and that lies that comes out from the mouth. And the other limbs of the body. The third is to cleanse and purify the heart from wrong beliefs, wrong ideologies, wrong philosophies. Also to cleanse the heart from evil traits, pride, jealousy, enmity, animosity. And the fourth is to cleanse the soul, the actual soul which Allah put in our bodies, through which we have become active, through which we can see, through which we can talk, through which we could hear. Allah wants us to purify that soul, and that soul should be removed from everything besides Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Respected elders and friends, the concept of purity, the concept of taharat in Islam is very, very deep. And in fact, beyond the comprehension and beyond the understanding of the kuffar and munafiqeen. Non-Muslims will never understand the concept of taharat in Islam. According to them, purity is something that is on the surface. If you wash your clothing and it is clean, according to them, that is pure, even though there may be urine drops on the clothing. According to them, the purity of the house is to set up the house and it must look beautiful, even though there may be a dog licking in every corner of the house, and even though there may be a bar with every type of intoxicant in the house. In Islam, the concept of taharat is far beyond that. The very first verse that was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the cessation of wahi. Wahi first came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hira. And approximately 3 years thereafter, wahi resumed. So after the cessation of wahi, the very first verse, when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now stand up and propagate your mission. The first verse was revealed, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa'tahhir. O you who is shrouded, stand up and proclaim. The oneness of Allah warned the people of death, warned the people of life after death, warned the people of hisab and accountability in the court of Allah. Create Allah consciousness in the people. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Praise Allah, glorify Allah. And the verse that comes after that, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ. And their clothing purified. Remove all dirt, remove in all type of impurities from your clothing. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, At-tuhur shatrul iman. To cleanse ourselves, to be pure, to be clean, it is half of our faith. And in fact, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala explains the law of purity in much detail in the Quran Kareem. He didn't leave it to the discretion of the fuqaha. He explained it in detail. The fundamental principles of tahara, wudu, ghusl, tayammum, all that, there are verses of the Quran Kareem pertaining to that. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha kumtum ila salah, faghsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum ila al-marafiq, wamsahu bir'usikum wa arjulakum ila al-ka'bain. Oh you who believe, when you stand up towards salat, wash your faces, wash your hands till the elbows, wipe your heads, making masa, and wash your feet until the ankles. And Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُوبًا فَاتَّهَرُوا. When you're in a state of janabat, major impurity, if a person being an adult, unmarried, he has nocturnal emission, or if a person is married, he has conjugal relationship with his wife, he's in a state of major janabat, he has to purify himself by making ghusl. And then further Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. If water is not available, going up to that extent, when water is available, wudu. And if it's major impurity, make ghusl. And when water is not available, whether it is because of not being able to make wudu, not be able to make ghusl, then fatayammamu. And Allah explains how tayammum should also be made. This shows so much of emphasis on taharat and purity in the Quran and in our Sharia. Most respected elders and friends, the concept of taharat, purity, is not confined to acts of ibadat. It's not only confined as a prerequisite, as a shart, or as a rukn, as a prerequisite for the validity of our ibadat. You got to have wudu for the validity of our salah. You got to be in the state of pure, big taharat, having ghusl for a salah to be valid. If a person in the state of impurity, but it is not confined to that. Taharat and purity in Islam, it is a way of life. In every aspect of our life, there's taharat and there's purity. In fact, Shariat encourages us to ensure that we don't pollute the environment. If there's anything pure, anything that is clean, protect it, safeguard it, don't pollute it, don't contaminate it. In one hadith in Kitab al-Tahara, a hadith that is normally under much scrutiny for juridical conclusions, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, La yabulanna ahadukum fil ma'i da'im summa yakhtasilu fi. If there is water which is pure, it is clean, it is pure water, but it is stagnant, you can use that water for drinking purposes, to make wudu, to make ghusl. You can use the water for irrigation purposes, farming purposes. That water is usable. So none of you should go there and urinate in that water to pollute and contaminate that water. Otherwise, that will render the water unusable. Now look at the extent of taharat in Islam, where Islam even speaks about environmental cleanliness. And in fact, Shariat even encourages us to safeguard ourselves, to protect ourselves from the impurity of the environment. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even tells us, Barakatu ta'am al-wudu qabla wal-wudu ba'da. When a person eats, consume this food, before eating, wash your hand. After eating, wash your hand. Now one would wonder, 1,500 years ago, why would Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us that we should wash our hands before eating, wash our hands after eating? What is the rationale behind it? And why so much of emphasis? Your hand is clean, the table is clean, the food is clean, why wash your hands? Recently, scientists have discovered, and this has also been mentioned by some of the nutritionists and dietitians, that now they have understood the meaning of this hadith, because scientists have discovered that there's so much of bacteria around us. And because of that bacteria, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to us, wash your hand before eating, wash your hand after eating. If you don't do so, there's bacteria in your hand, you may contaminate your food. You may not realize, but it will affect your health. After eating, if there was something in the food, or in the remnants of the food, you can safeguard and you protect yourself and safeguard your health. In one hadith, in Tirmidhi Sharif, in Kitabul At'ima, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have mentioned that إِذَا نَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ, when any one of you have to sleep, and if there is some fattish substance, خَمْرٌ, fattish substance on your fingers, وَلَا يَخْسِلْ, and if a person doesn't wash out the fattish substance on his fingers, on his hand before sleeping, فَأَصَابَهُ شَيْءٌ, and if something has to happen to him, for example, it is something that is sticky, an ant may come, a creature may come, may bite him, and there may be other medical considerations for that as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ, don't blame anyone but your own selves. Taharat, purity, it is a way of life. In one lengthy hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, the hadith is narrated from Hadhrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَشَرٌ مِّنَ الْفِطْرَةِ. There are 10 things that are from natural practices of a human being. Other ulama have given other translations for the word fitra, but the easiest for general consumption is practices that is according to human nature. Everyone, every human being by nature would want to do this, if he's not influenced by external forces. The first is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi mentioned, قَصُّ الشَّارِبِ, to trim your moustache, to cut your moustache. Don't leave your moustache so big that it is loose and it looks ugly and the ends of it are very, very long. Looks unpresentable. Shorten your moustache to the best of your ability. Even if it means to shave it with an electronic shaver, then that is also permissible. Second, اِعْفَاءُ اللَّحْيَا, lengthen the beard. Some people have a misunderstanding of purity and tahara, and they feel that having a beard is against tahara. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in as according to human nature. Third, wassiwak, to make miswak, that is part of our tahara. In fact, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَىٰ, that had it not been difficult upon my ummah, I would made it compulsory before every salah for a person to make miswak. In the hadith he mentioned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so conscious of tahara and cleanliness of the mouth that whenever he used to enter the house, first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, he used to make miswak. So when he speaks to his wives, he speaks to anyone, no odor comes out of the mouth. And indeed, there was no odor in any way in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, in the end of the 8th juz of Bukhari, there's a hadith. Anas radiallahu ta'ala describing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that مَا شَمِمْتُ مِسْكَةً وَلَا أَمْبَرَةً أَتْيَبَ رَائِحَةً مِنْ رَائِحَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I haven't smelled any musk, best type of perfume, or amber, that is more beautiful and with a beautiful fragrance than the fragrance that was emitting from the mouth, from the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When that was the condition of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in spite of that, he would make miswak of his mouth when he entered the house, then how much more should we ensure that we do that? Third, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fourth Nabi Kareem sallallahu mentioned, istinshaqul ma, that to cleanse the nose. Put water in the nose, according to some narrations, it comes istimsar, put water in the nose and also to blow it, that is part of taharat and purity. Especially after sleeping, the different type of germs come into the nose, you blow your nose out, you cleanse it, you purify yourself. This is all part of our beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Fifth, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned qassul asfar, that to cut your fingernails, clip your fingernails, especially on a Friday, to clip your fingernails, this is also among the sunnah and istihbab acts of jumnah as well. Sixth, ghaslul barajim, that the joints between the fingers, from the inner part, from the outer part, to wash that, that generally in the joints, a lot of dirt and impurity comes in there, to cleanse that, that is also from the sunnah. Then seventh, nathful ibit, the hair under the armpits. In those days, they used to pluck it out. But if a person is not in the habit of plucking it out, it will be painful. Then you could shave it out as long as you remove the hair. Halqul ana, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned to remove the pubic hair. The pubic hair is that hair that is just above the private part where normally hair grows. Many people ask this question about the pubic hair, that whether it is from the navel going down to a pubic area. The area from the navel, the hair that goes till the pubic area, it is advisable to remove it. But it's not necessary to remove it, but as a prerequisite for a person's tahara, the area above the private part, that is called the ana, to remove that is also from the fitrah. And the ninth, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, intiqasul ma. When a person makes istinja, you go to relieve yourself completely, thereafter wash yourself. Don't keep on washing yourself whilst you are relieving yourself, you are wasting water in that. In that you don't use something pure for something and you, or lose it for something that is impure. And the sixth, the tenth item mentioned in the hadith, the narrator says, nasitul ashira. I forgot about the tenth thing, but many of the narrators of the hadith mentioned that we think it is madmada, rinsing the mouth, that is also from tahara, and that is also from purity. Respected elders and friends, taharat and purity, there's also a spiritual dimension to it. It's not only about cleansing yourself, there's also a spiritual dimension to that. In one hadith narrated by Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَنْ تَوَزَّى فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُذُو. That person who makes wudu, he doesn't just do wudu as a ritual practice, just washing the hands and face. This wudu is an act of ibadat. We are about to stand before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, if a person makes wudu, purify this wudu. Make sure he washes his face properly, his hands properly, his feet properly, is completely satisfied. خَرَجَتْ خَطَايَا مِنْ جَسَدِهِ حَتَّى تَخْرُجْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَصْفَارِ. With the barakat of the wudu, all the sins are forgiven. The sin that comes out from the body, if a person committed sin with his brains by making masa, that sin comes out. If a person committed sin with his eyes by washing their face, that sin is washed out. If a person committed sin with his hands, he did something evil with his hands, then the sin that he committed with his hand would be washed out. The same with his feet. And that is why it is advisable, although as a principle, to make tawbah. When a person commits sin, you got to make tawbah. But as a principle, acts of virtue, acts of ibadat, when you do it, Allah forgive a person minor sin. That is why it's advisable. When you make wudu, then also make niyat of tawbah as well. So minor sins are forgiven and major sins are also forgiven. And then you are up for a big bargain before you stand before Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Salasatun la taqrabuhul malaika. There are three people, the angels of rahmat never come close to them. The first, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Jifatul Kafir. When a non-Muslim dies, the corpse of a non-Muslim. He died with kufr. He died with shirk. The angel of rahmat never comes next to that corpse. Second, Al-Mutakhallaq Bil Khaluq. That person that has been soiled with a type of a feminine fragrance. It's a fragrance that women normally use. For male, you must carry on like a male. A male doesn't carry on like a female, and neither should a female carry on like a male. So if a male applied fragrance that is for feminine type, then the angels of rahmat do not come close to a person. And the last, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that if a person be in a state of janabat, sleeps in a state of janabat, the angel of rahmat don't come to him, illa ayyatawazza, until he makes cleanses himself, and he makes wudu. And in fact, in one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned the spiritual dimension of taharat. The hadith is in Bukhari, marra Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ala qabrain, وهما يعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم happened to pass by two qabrs, two graves. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم perceived that the inmates of the grave are being punished. But they weren't being punished for something that is very, very big, something difficult for them to stay away from. One of them too, Yamshi bin Namima. The one of the two had a habit of gossiping, taking stories from one to the other and taking the story from the second to the third and creating fuel in the community and breathing enmity and animosity among the people. And the other is that Allah yastatiru bil bowl. When you go to relieve himself, he doesn't abstain from the urine drops. It is a means of a person being punished in the qabr. Most respected elder and friends, in the beginning of my talk, I quoted verse 108 of Surah At-Tawbah, in which Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala condemns the evil intention of the munafiqeen. They wanted to establish Masjid al-Dirar. The intention was dissension, evil plots and intentions. And then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala praises the taharat and the purity of the people of Quba. Now one may think, Allah is condemning the evil intentions, something that was internal in the munafiqeen, something that was evil in the hearts of the munafiqeen. But then Allah is praising the external purity of the sahaba that were living in Quba. So what is the link between them two? The munafiqeen were doing something evil that was internally evil. But converse to that, Allah is praising something external of the sahaba. So what is the link between them two? Ulama have mentioned there's a great link between external and internal. Sometimes the external had an impact on the internal, and sometimes the internal had an impact on the external. On a hot day, when you're feeling very, very hot, you take a cold shower, you feel cool. And on a cold day, very, very cold, you take a hot shower, you feel warm inside, or probably drink hot coffee or drink chocolate. You'll feel warm inside. So internal had an effect on external, external had an impact on the internal as well. In the Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in this verse want to show that why the people in Quba, their internal is perfect. Oh Muhammad, you can go to a masjid in which they are residing and perform salat because their external is perfect. And don't go and bless the masjid of the munafiqeen, Masjid al-Zirar, because the internal is imperfect. And because of that, the external will also be imperfect. Internal had an effect on the internal had an effect on the external. And most respected elder and friend, there's a great lesson for us to learn in that. We speak about tahara. One is external taharat. We cleanse ourselves, we purify ourselves. It's also more important that we also cleanse our hearts and remove all dirt and filth in our hearts. Unfortunately today, when we look at the situations in the family, look at situations in the community, in organizations, there's too much of anger, too much of animosity, too much of ill feelings. Every now and then you're talking to someone, they talk about this, be evil about the next person. There's just anger, there's just hatred, there's animosity. And that is something that we have to remove. We want to lead a life of hayatan tayyiba, pure life. Then remove the dirt and the ill feeling in our heart from the next person. One teacher, he wanted to teach his students a lesson of how to keep the heart clean. So he told the students, tomorrow I want every one of you to bring tomatoes in the class equivalent to a number of people that you hate. Following day, the students, some of them came with 2 tomatoes, some of them came with 5 tomatoes, some of them came with 10 tomatoes. Teacher asked them, what did you all come with? And every student said, I've got 2 enemies, somebody said 3 enemies, somebody said 10 enemies. Teacher told him, keep those tomatoes for a few days. And then report to me what happened after that. Within a day or two, students came back and they told the teacher, this tomato is getting rotten. Tomato is getting overripe. It's becoming very messy. I can't keep this tomato. 2 days I can't keep it. Where am I going to keep it for the whole week? The teacher then taught the students a lesson. If those tomatoes are something that are representing the people that you dislike, and you can't bear that, imagine those type, that sting, the dirt, and that overripeness that is inside your heart for the next person. How are you going to live your life with that? Respect elder and friends. It is said, be nice. Be good to everyone. Starting up with your wife, starting up with your children, starting with the people in the community, any human being that you come across, be nice to everyone. Not because everyone is nice. Be nice to everyone because you are nice, you want to be nice to everyone. Allah will be nice to you. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.